June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team proves to be unstoppable. It's over at Paycom Center. Final in Game 7, the Thunder 103, the Pacers 91. A dream realized. The storybook season is complete. The final chapter reads, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the 2025 NBA champions.
22.
Not as long as I expected.
22.
Not as long as I expected. Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ 105 in the Fan. Sean is out. It's not paternity leave.
No?
This is straight on vacation.
Oh, so no paternity leave. This is just lazy. That's what that is.
Wait, you can take both?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Look, no, he's not used to working 3 weeks in a row.
You get your paternity leave, then you get your regular vacation time allotted on top of that. That is the one good thing about having kids is that.
That's the one.
The one good thing about having young children is all the vacation time. You just add on. You just add on top of that.
Yeah, I never took paternity. I think I took 2 days total between two kids.
I got a week. My kids are old enough. I'm old enough to remember when you only got a week for paternity leave.
I mean, I had more. I just didn't take it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a man.
Yeah, is that how that works? Hey, listen, I'll take some free. If they're going to pay me to sit at home, I'm going to sit at home.
Yeah, especially if they're going to pay you to do it a year after the kids are born.
Right. Exactly. So he's out this week. Peyton's probably got about 3 weeks of vacation coming up here. That's how he rolls.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's probably got a month of paternity leave himself coming up. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, how's that going?
8.5 more months, guys.
Yeah.
I'll be there. Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Congratulations.
The wedding's in 10 months and baby's coming right before.
Will you be pregnant at the wedding?
No.
He made it sound like you would be.
He made it sound like you, or you'd be, maybe be already be born.
Yeah, it could be born. That's what it could be.
No. Mackenzie and I have stated that after the wedding, baby. After the wedding.
Gotta after be after the wedding. Okay. Yeah, you're doing it the conventional way. I get that. All right, it's Sean and RJ here, 105 through the Fan. That was not as long or nauseating of a call from Matt Pinto.
It was very muted.
It was very muted because it had to be, because I think that whole, after the final 3.5 quarters was a very muted game last night.
Yeah, last two, really. I mean, last two was just, that was obviously an emotional toll that it had been taken on Indiana, just the fight, everything leading up to Game 7, and then Halliburton comes out there and plays like he did, and plays at the level he did early.
He
looked great early. He hits those three threes, and
he was going to be the MVP if they wanted, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, and so he hits those three threes, and then what's the term they use for it? When they see it go up the calf, the shock or whatever, you see the aftershock.
The vibration, after vibration.
Yeah, whatever that term is.
Ripple.
You see that ripple up his calf, and it's like, yep, I know that injury. I remember KD in the finals against Toronto. So that was a brutal break for Indiana.
It was. Now, they have guys that could step in and play, and any team can win a game when their player leaves in the middle of the game. It's just the games that are after that. It become a problem, but this was I just felt very, like, I lost a lot of energy for the game, you know, as soon as that play happened. Because I think we all knew, all right, they're just going to wear them down. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Indiana looked good early.
Yeah.
Halliburton looked good early. And this was just a case of even to keep it competitive like they did and to the point they were even leading at halftime after he went down. But then, I mean, it was an onslaught. The third quarter and then into the start of the fourth was because, I mean, they didn't score a bucket till I'm trying to see how late into the fourth they finally scored a bucket. I mean,
look, McConnell scored like every point for like a 10-minute stretch.
Yeah, it was 4 minutes and 31 seconds into the fourth quarter before they made a shot. And then by that point, they were down 22.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem because, you know, they had nowhere to go. They had nowhere to go with any of the scoring, and that's why they're not sitting here today with a trophy, and that's why Oklahoma City is. But OKC gets the 103-91 victory. So we said Halliburton only played the 7 minutes. He had 9 points in 7 minutes, and then Shea, 29 points for the game. That was the game high, obviously, for Oklahoma City and Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, this is there's nothing that they can really hang their head about, I don't think, Indiana. I mean, I know there was the, as we see Mike Breen giving an encouraging word to Tyrese Halliburton postgame last night. But it's something where I think when you watch that game, it's hard to say anything other than just, all right, you fought like hell to get to where you were. I still think Oklahoma City probably wins that game, even if Halliburton plays. But it is something where I heard a little bit of criticism driving in this morning listening to Maggie and Perloff.
All right.
Shop. Mm-hmm. And I heard a little bit of criticism from somebody there that said it's hard not to blame Rick Carlisle, as their producer, EJ. Said it's hard not to blame Rick Carlisle, with sitting Siakam for as long as he did in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're going to throw anything at Rick Carlisle this morning, I'm just not going to take your basketball opinion seriously.
I agree. I don't think you can remotely criticize a guy who got his team to this level. That really had,
they had no business being here. I mean, it's not a completely like New York Knicks run in the lockout year, or you know, some of these awful Giants teams that made it to the Super Bowl and what. It's not that improbable, not that impossible. They were in the East Finals last year, but he can be a jerk. He can be rough around the edges. He is a fantastic basketball coach.
He is elite. He is elite. There. I would say right now, I mean, who's better in the NBA today?
He's at the top. So, I mean, yeah, there are obviously a few that you... Ime Udoka's got a really good reputation at this mm-hmm. point.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, there are people who think really highly of Joe Mazzulla and the psycho he is, Spolstra. But, no, Rick Carlisle is one of the absolute best.
Yeah, he's in that combo. Now, look, I mean, where his all-time standing is, I mean, he probably needed to win this one. But that's an interesting debate, too, because the way this game started, the way Halliburton started, I mean, he may have had one had he not ruptured that Achilles. And we're going to have to do a deep dive because this is a problem around the sports world. I went and looked at, you know, back in, let's just go back to 30 years ago, two ruptured Achilles tendons per 100 people. And now it's 21.
I mean,
we are
a lot.
Talking a 10 times increase.
Yes, there's, I don't know, there's a little bit of part of me, I'm trying to remember. I don't want to talk out my behind here.
Talk out your behind.
No, I need to look it up first.
Peyton, let's convince him to talk out of his butt.
While I research whether my butt is correct, Peyton, what did you think of the game last night?
yeah, like y'all said, I mean, the energy drained. It sucked because, I mean, it's a game seven, you know, and Halliburton goes down. But, I mean, like, you know, we've talked about it a little bit that we've kind of forced the superstar mentality on him, you know, kind of title him a superstar when he's not, you know. So it's like when he went down, it felt like an SGA went down, a Luka went down, something, but it really wasn't, you know. Halliburton, he very well, and he was on fire early on, but, you know, I didn't think it really changed much of the outcome of the game. I still had OKC winning, I think, as a lot of us did, but it just sucked because the Pacers had a halftime lead. And I was thinking, I was like, man, could they really do this? Like, it would be a, you know, some ending if the Pacers actually pulled this off, but. I mean, it sucks, but and the Achilles again, like you said, RJ.
So,
real quick, sorry. Do you think that? So, you think if he played the whole game, that it wouldn't have mattered? They would have still lost.
it would have been closer. I mean, I think you could just do the math there. But, I mean, because he's not – it's not like you can guarantee him for 25, 30 points a game. Sure, he very well could have had, you know, 19, 20 points, and that'd be it. But it did make it a little bit of a difference.
So, I don't remember which one it is, and that's what I'm trying to figure out before I go talking out my behind. But I know that there are certain medications that are out there now, and I think it's some pain relievers that get used in professional sports these days. There's some of them that are associated with – like degeneration of the Achilles. And so, for instance, not that this is the one, but like Toradol had it has obviously a bad reputation in a lot of ways, to the point where years ago there was a player coming out in the draft, this is probably 6 years ago, that I know a lot of teams had medically flagged on their board and took off their board because of the amount of Toradol he was given in college. And they were just like, nope, that's too much of a concern moving forward. And so I do just wonder if a spike in Achilles injuries like you see there, I wonder if that has anything to do with some of the modern pain management
that goes on. Could see that being the case. Because it would dry it out, right? It would dry out.
And that's what I was just trying to find out which one it is. I see some of these medical articles that say, you know, general NSAIDs or advanced pain relievers can cause that. But like there's a freaking, what do you call it? Antibiotic. There's an antibiotic that's associated with this. Because I remember I got it. Somebody was like, hey, take this antibiotic. A doctor giving it to me. And then I read the side effects. And they're like, yeah, this actually has a black box warning that says your Achilles could get really screwed up here. And so, I would imagine there's something maybe that has to do with that. Was it Nick Van Exel that was talking about? Was he talking about specifically the Achilles when he was complaining about guys not wearing high tops a while ago, saying that he thought
he was talking about rolling ankles.
I can't remember if that. I couldn't remember if it was rolling ankles or Achilles or whatever else. But yeah, I mean, obviously this, it's always preceded by a calf injury.
Like it always was, is. Always
like
is.
It was with, and that was one of the concerns the Mavericks had about Luka. When Luka was rehabbing everything, they were concerned that he was going to have a big problem with that. And you know, that's something that's part of the reason that Nico bet against him.
Yeah, look, I hurt my calf a couple of weeks ago. Like, I was just walking. Remember, you saw me limping around here. I was like, man, my calf hurts like hell. And that was, like, the number one thing I was worried about. I was like, man, I am not doing anything. I'm not going to remotely try to even move fast. I'm not rupturing my Achilles. I'm too old for that. And I'm at the age where it starts to happen. Like, guys in their 40s rupture their Achilles at, like, an alarming rate. It's crazy. And I think it just dries out, and I think that's what happens. I think you're right. I bet you could find some kind of a correlation between some of the medication they're taking and why. Because there's no other rhyme or reason. There's no rhyme. Maybe the turf. I get it in football with the turf, right? But there's no rhyme or reason why in basketball you've got guys rupturing Achilles at a rate they're doing it right now.
Yeah, especially with, I mean, all the load management that's supposed to preserve soft tissue injuries and everything else that then may have led to, like, you know, if you have a calf strain or something like that. But I mean, it's always the same thing, right? It's always that plant that front and try and explode off of that toe. And then that's what we see. We just see that.
Now, look, players are more explosive now than they ever were.
Right. I just mean in terms of that's where we see the injury. It's that, you know, pushing off of that foot and trying to go, and then you just see it go up. But it's obviously devastating for Indiana. We're also not doing enough to say, and I know they didn't play great yesterday, but Oklahoma City deserves a ton of credit too for being clearly the best team in basketball the whole way. They were.
They absolutely were the best team in the NBA the entire. There's a reason why they were the favorites. They should have been. We had them in seven. That was just the reality. Look, they are set up very nicely to have a long, prolonged, sustained success run. I am not going to do what people are doing where they're saying, I know it's a stat. I know it's a stat. I know you got to put it out there. But come on, like, just the fact that they're, like, they're tied with the 97 Bulls for the most wins in a single year. Like, can we not? This is the third most wins any team has had in a single season. Warriors, 96 Bulls, and then now Oklahoma City tied with the 97 Bulls.
And this is the note that was put out there last night about Shea, is that he now has the highest scoring championship season ever, points per game. He beat Michael Jordan by 0.1 points per game when you combine regular season and playoffs and for title winners only. So, I mean, this is like in terms of champions, like Shea was the most prolific scorer we'd seen.
I bet you Jordan had like the top six.
Probably right around there. Yeah, and I mean that he's Shea was fantastic throughout the year. Mm-hmm. That's a great basketball team, and they're not a. That's the thing that I was saying on Friday. They're not a team that's like easy to root against for like, oh, they play bad basketball, or oh, they do this or that, or oh, man, I don't like this. Like they play good fundamental team basketball all the way around. They're really good defensively.
They're very easy to root against. They got generic uniforms.
They have that, and Chet Holmgren's face. Dear God, I don't know what it is.
He's a bum.
I want to hit him.
He's a bum.
I just want. And he had some weird quote last night after the game where he's like, "Everybody's winners until they get challenged or something like that." And everybody on the internet was like, "What the hell is he saying? Like everybody's a winner." I don't know what he was trying. I don't know what he was trying to say about adversity there, but it didn't really make sense. But congrats to the Thunder. I mean, they were the best team in basketball, basically wire to wire.
Peyton could just chime in with this. True.
It's true. I mean, it's a good quote.
That sounds like a quote Chet Holmgren had Peyton write for him.
That's Sean and RJ, 105.3 a fan. We had another NBA trade, though, yesterday. We had a trade during Game 7 morning. I mean, what a wild time to be alive. But we got to do this. We got to compare it to the Luka deal and the compensation. Who won the old KD trades coming up next year? Sean and RJ, 105 through the fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Monday, DFW. Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. I hate the word Happy Monday because it's Monday.
Why'd you say it then?
Just trying to be nice. Trying to get everybody upbeat, you know, all the good stuff.
Just socially falling in line.
I'm right there. I'm in line. Follow the crowd. Follow the crowd at chow time. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. It is, it was the offseason. It is officially the offseason, but it seems like the NBA offseason started 2 weeks ago because everybody's making moves in the NBA. And yesterday it happened on the morning of Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Kevin Durant, it is announced, has been traded to Houston.
Yeah, and which direction do you want to go with this first? You want to go with Durant himself or the fact that the league let this happen?
No, let's save that one. Let's just start with the trade itself. By the way, he goes to Houston and to Phoenix. It is Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the 10th pick, and 5 twos. 5 twos sounds like a hell of a night.
Yeah, this is, this is an easy victory for the Rockets, this trade.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, see that now we got a little, because a lot of people on you know, I was texting with over the weekend, I'm like, man, Phoenix fleeced him.
Man, I don't think so. You're talking about Jalen Green as an inefficient scorer. He's been inconsistent on defense. I don't know what the hell happened to him at the end of the year. Like that, the playoff series and the end of the season, when he's scored like 8 points every game in the middle of the playoffs, to the point where he was basically benched or had his minutes severely reduced in the final three games of that playoff series. Jalen Green was just like shrunk completely. And now I think I saw the number that Phoenix has 103% of the NBA salary cap tied up in guards now, but in four guards that they have. So, man, I don't know. Green and then Brooks, who's more of a pest than like a really good basketball player. I mean, he played better last year. He was a better shooter last year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there have been a couple different years where like Dylan Brooks was one of the most inefficient players in basketball. Then you get the 10th pick and then a bunch of second rounders. Like to me, it's I'll do that trade every day for KD right now.
Even at his age, yep. And you've got to sign him.
Yep.
Because he's got this is the last year of his deal.
They weren't winning with Jalen Green.
You're right.
So to me, they could win with KD.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, KD's kind of got he leaves a trail of carnage everywhere he goes.
He does, yeah. But I mean, this is I thought this was in terms of New York was the best spot for his legacy. If you just want to talk about analysts who will remember him more fondly, oh, he won in New York. If you want to, it's like going to Dallas and winning a Super
specifically
Bowl.
Specifically with the Knicks, not Brooklyn.
Like, yeah. The Knicks.
Brooklyn doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Knicks. But out of the other teams that we were talking about, Houston was the one that made the most sense. It's a competitive team that is on the cusp of being a really good contender, but is not yet a contender that's looking to go over the top. So he's not going to get the legacy, you know, ride hitch claim that he could have gotten like he did other places. It would be a first title in forever. He would be like the veteran kind of tying things together the way he needed when he was younger at OKC. Like this is, to me, it's the best possible fit for KD. It's a great trade for the Rockets, and I think that this is absolutely a great move for them. And Phoenix is, I don't know what the hell Phoenix is doing. I know they've got a lot of talented players. They've got a stockpile of picks, everything else. But, man, this is.
They had to do this. They had to do something.
Yeah, they had
else,
to make
though.
A move. I don't know. What was the quote yesterday?
He wanted out anyway.
Matt Ishbia's quote yesterday was, ask the other 29 GMs, 26 of them would trade their whole team for our whole team and our draft picks. It's like. No, not 26 they wouldn't. That's not true. There's not three teams who would just pass on swapping places with you. Phoenix is not in a great spot necessarily.
They're not. They got talent. But they're also the perfect example of like the super team. Maybe the super team era is dead.
Oh, it's definitely dead.
You know, they've got tons of guys, tons of contracts, all locked up, and you have no depth. And like really, let's be fair. Like the only time the super team has worked, it had LeBron on it, right, in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron was on it. Because I don't consider pre-Durant Golden State to be a super team.
No, they were naturally built.
Drafted and developed. Durant worked for a very short amount of time.
I mean, Durant worked there the whole time he was there.
But he was there a short amount of time.
Yeah, it was three or four years.
Was he there 4 years? Didn't even feel like it.
It was at least three.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. He was,
but it worked. It worked for that. So
three years, and then he sat out the year with the injury.
Right. So you had to look at it like, okay, so if you don't have LeBron, all right, or you don't have KD joining an already set group of monster players, the super team era never. The super team was like, it's not quite the torpedo bat, but you could see it from there, right? It's very short lived.
Yeah, there was definitely, because there was a time where that's how everybody built their team.
Yeah.
Rockets have tried to do that before. And I think generally you could make an argument, a stretch maybe, but you can make an argument that Boston had a little bit of super team to them because they went and got Porzingis for the third. But...
Yeah.
And I mean, like, Drew Holiday was a really good veteran player who they said. But yeah, it's not the classic super team structure where you're just, oh, let's go put, you know, KD and Kyrie on the same team together and let's go try and acquire Anthony Davis like Brooklyn had tried to do previously, or some of the stuff Houston did with Harden and trying to put pieces around him. And so, yeah, the super team model has not had the success level that maybe it was remembered as mm-hmm. initially. And a lot of times, a lot of people would say, is that even the super team era? Was that just LeBron finally clicked? Like, it was obviously a collection talent, but was it more just, it was LeBron mm-hmm. more than it was any sort of a super team building. But regardless, I think this is a good trade for Houston. Yeah. I think that this makes Houston a much stronger contender next year.
I never felt they were really the second best team in the West. You know, they were the 2 seed, but it's like, all right.
I mean, they weren't even favored to beat Golden State in that series.
They weren't. This is a move, I think, you know, that both teams really kind of had to do. I like Jalen Green. Brooks is an agitator. And now what they're doing is they're giving rid of some of their depth. And now Phoenix has depth.
And Green Brooks shot 40% from three last year. He was like their third leading scorer or something like that. Like he played better.
Yeah.
But like you take, what was this? The last 5 games of the playoff series against Golden State. In fact, take the whole series outside of game two. Game two, Jalen Green scored 38 points. Great. But outside of that, this is what Jalen Green did in the series against Golden State. 7 points in 30 minutes, 9 points in 38 minutes, 8 points in 24 minutes, 11 in 27, 12 in 32, 8 in 29. I mean, and at the end of the year, he had been terrible. Yeah. I don't know what was up with Jalen Green. And Jalen Green's a little bit of a volume guy and a little bit of smoke and mirrors, I think. But in terms of efficiency, they just got a lot better. Mm-hmm. Houston did.
Yeah. Phoenix had reported some fist fights in the locker room over last year.
With who? Not Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's not throwing hands, I don't feel like.
you don't think?
No.
I mean, that was Boogie Cousins that had that. He had mentioned that there was a report out there that there were some fist fights. The Suns, they were kind of a mess. But this is kind of par for the course.
817 points out. Yeah, Boston did it. KG, Ray Allen.
They were really the first ones to do it.
They're the first ones to click. The first one to really try it was the Lakers when they got Malone and Payton. And that didn't work.
Yeah, I never could. They were old.
They were old, but I mean, Malone was still a really efficient player. But Gary Payton had been really good the year before. And so, I mean, that's a super team, though. You were throwing big-time names, big-time stars on top of what that team had already been, which was already a title winner.
Here's Kevin Durant. This was at the Fanatics Fest. This all broke at Fanatics Fest.
Mm-hmm.
KD was there. He was talking, and he was on the podium, and somebody says, "Hey, you've been traded." He goes, "Really?" This is after with Kay Adams.
I just felt like, they wanted me to go. So it's like, I'm glad we both, they got what they wanted and I got what I wanted. So we can move on, and good luck to them going forward. And I always remember my time there, but we on something else.
We on to new stuff.
They wanted me to go.
Which, I mean, yeah, they were ready for him to be. That just whole thing was never even close to working out.
It really was. It was very disappointing. But again, we've talked about this. KD, we talked about this last week. He's the player without a... He's the player that doesn't have a team.
Which is becoming a little more common in the NBA. But yeah, he'll be remembered as one of the first.
He'll be like the poster for it, right?
Yeah.
He's the most famous player that doesn't have a team. But he definitely had a say in getting traded.
You know, when people can just hang your career in a balance like that and just choose what they want to do with your career is a nerve-wracking feeling. But being able to dictate what you want to do and then being with a team that values you, and I'm looking forward to it.
Kevin, people are going to hold on to that dictate what you want to do. Did you have a hand in this?
Most definitely.
How much of it?
I mean, they asked me where I wanted to go. Some of my destinations, I gave it to them, and here we are.
The one thing is, like, every player does it. This is not kidding. Every player does this. They do the whole value you. They don't value you. Well, of course they do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does he want his handheld? Like, I mean, yeah, is there a little bit? They clearly valued him, everything they gave up to get him there.
Yeah, and they give him $50 million a year.
But if they, like, if he's, I would imagine a lot of the times that's with respect to, do you value me compared to Devin Booker? Or do you value me compared to other people that are here? Like, am I correctly valued in the pecking order? That may not be the case.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, I don't know. I think that, which, by the way, let's just look at this up. Kevin Durant's 2 years older than Gary Payton was when he got traded to, or when he ended up with the Lakers.
Wow.
So, but Durant is, I don't know. I think I'm one of these guys. I'm a Durant apologist. Doesn't have anything to do with the Texas stuff, promise. But I think history has been far too unfair with Kevin Durant to this point.
Look, he's a great player. There's no doubt he's a great player. But man, it's like he's the player without a team.
I mean, OKC was his team. It's just it ended so poorly and there's no relationship there that nobody thinks of, but he's there for 9 years. I mean,
that's stunning in itself.
Still more than he's played 17 years in the NBA. Still more than half of his career games were played in Oklahoma City.
I feel like the Oklahoma City years were 2 decades ago.
He won 4 scoring titles. He won an MVP there. He, a real MVP. That all happened there. By the way, that's his only MVP. I was thinking about that. I was like, man, it feels like he should have won a second at some point. But he won his MVP, 4-time scoring champ, took him to the finals. It's a complicated legacy there now.
Oh, it's super complicated. Everything about him is complicated. But that's the league. You know, the league is very complicated. We will get into. I actually think the NBA was kind of cool with all these moves being made, and we'll get into. I'll tell you why. But this is. It's a weird thing because you would never see this in other sports, especially the NFL. They would never have.
Goodell wouldn't put up with it.
Allowed all these moves, especially in the morning of Game 7. I mean, you were, what, 8 hours from Game 7 and this breaks? Which means today when you're talking on the talk shows, you're going to have to talk about it?
Oh, get up, everything else. I bet you they spend more time talking Durant. KD than the actual game last night.
And, yeah, and, you know, when next time, when we, at 7 o'clock, I'll tell you why I think actually the NBA wanted that. The NBA wanted that. But up next, Jack Leiter, could he make it a sweep on the road in Pittsburgh? Plus, what are these second-round picks going to actually sign their deals? Let's get into that coming up next on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 1-1 is drilled deep out into right field. Adolis going back, still going back. He reaches out. It's over his head, off the track and the wall. Reynolds has scored. Bart being waved around third. Here's the relay throw. He slides and scores. The ball gets away from Heim. It's backed up by Bosley. Holding it second is Horwitz. He's got a two-run double, and the Pirates lead it 5-2.
Hicksy with the call in the game you heard right here. Rangers were going for the sweep. They had won the previous two games, 6-2 and 3-2.
Two games.
And they wound up losing 8-3. It felt like there was 38 line drive rocket hits in that one inning that just went over the outfielders' heads, whether it was Adolis or who was that in the center? That, yeah, it was, or Wyatt. That happened on the play we just played. It just felt like on every single hard hit ball, it just got over the outfielders' heads.
Yeah. No, and I mean, look, it was not a great day. Like, if you look at the peripheral statistics and everything else, it was not a great day for Jack Leiter. And it hasn't been a good run for Jack Leiter. I've got to find the clip. And then, no, I got to know the exact moment that Bassick jinxed to this. It was during that game against Tampa Bay when they're out there at Steinbrenner Field. And they
it still sounds so weird that the Rays are playing at Steinbrenner Field.
That's why I think, just like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, I think until this absurdity is done, we just need to refer to them as the Tampa Bay Rays of Steinbrenner Field. But Bassick jinxed it, man. He said, you remember he said it on the broadcast going to break. He said, "We are watching the birth of a star."
I remember that.
Then I was like, "All right, Jack, I'm with Jack." Ever since then, we've got problems, guys. We got big problems with Jack Leiter. Since then, in those last three starts, since Bassick did that.
Oh, God.
His ERA is 8.56.
Oh, no.
His whip is 2. That is not good. That's 2 walks and or hits per every inning that he pitches.
Come on.
And his strikeout to walk ratio is 1-to-1. There's something not right. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's hurt. I was saying to you yesterday, I got to look through the StatCast data and see if there's something up with his pitches. Like, if there's anything. Velocity looks fine.
It does. Something,
the only thing that I saw yesterday that looked like it was off his last few starts is the movement on his changeup has been different. Like, significantly different. But it's not like he throws the changeup primarily. And it's not like, I mean, he threw 4 of them yesterday, so that wouldn't have been the problem. So I don't know what it is. There's just something that's not quite right with him right now.
So Brooks Baseball tabulates all this crap. And let's see. His sinker was at 97 miles an hour in spring training, 97 in April, and now it's 96. So it's only a mile difference, not that much. Horizontal movement on his pitches looks to be pretty much stable. I don't know what the...
For yesterday or year over year?
From the beginning of the year. I guess from the beginning of the year.
So over on Baseball Savant, which is the best advanced analytics site there is, it's MLB's site. If you go down to the player breakdown, it'll show you the pitches that he was throwing yesterday. And you can go to player breakdown and it'll show you everything relative to his year average, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, the four-seam fastball velocity, it was 0.2 miles per hour down from his year average. That's not a concern.
That's not enough.
You look at the curveball was 1.1 miles per hour lower. Again, a curve, an off-speed pitch being a mile per hour difference is not the same as when you see a fastball is down a mile or two.
You're really looking, you're probably, I would assume, because I know like they will say, like hitters will tell you that every 3 miles an hour is something that they can noticeably tell. So I don't know what that would be with in this situation, but maybe I would say if it was more than 3 miles an hour difference, that's alarming, or maybe two. Let's just throw 2 miles an hour difference.
Now the induced vertical break.
Well,
on yeah, that's the vertical break, the induced vertical break, the horizontal break, all those little things. Most of that looked pretty normal yesterday, except slider was a little different. It was 2 inches different. But the changeup is the one that, like, if you look at it again, it's the one that's got the weirdest stuff. The spin rate was 264 RPM lower.
See, and the changeup is what a lot of people, I think a lot of it was talked about, especially when he was on MLB Network that one day, a couple of weeks back. They really did bring up the change a lot, and that changed his ability this year. And maybe
just the fact that he doesn't feel comfortable in it, and he wasn't throwing it yesterday is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that's what's causing him to pitch as poorly as he is because he's not able to set things up the way he wants to because the changeup's not working. Okay. I know that is a question definitely for Sandler. In fact, I'm going to text him right now while we're
talking. I'll tell you this. It is not beyond baseball teams today to look at the spin rate of a pitch and tell the pitcher how to throw it anymore. And I hope that's not the case because, you know, first of all, the hitters will tell you whether the pitch works as opposed to the numbers. The hitters will tell you. But also, it's not even so much using the pitch. It's the ability. If the hitter knows that you're not throwing it, and they know you're not going to throw that because if you haven't thrown that pitch in two starts or whatever, and they see the data, they see your spin rate. They know whether you're going to dump it out of your repertoire or not. And if they know you've dumped it, that's one less thing they've got to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, take Rocker for instance. When he had that great start last week. Rocker's start last week, it's like we talked about with Jared. Like, a lot of that last week was less about Rocker's stuff being significantly different or whatever else. It was more about just he mixed his pitches better than he had, a lot of this year. It was more just about pitching against his scouting report and not throwing things the same way that he had. And then that helped set up a lot of what he wanted to do. And so if you've lost that changeup in your arsenal, then that can be a problem. So here's what I was looking at the last two starts for Jack Leiter. So yesterday, like I said, he only threw four of the changeups. The spin rate was 250 different. If you look at the last start against the Royals, the spin rate on his changeup was down 150 RPM in that one. So there's something like different about his changeup the last few starts. And he's gotten it hit hard. He's given up two doubles and a home run, I think, in the last two starts off of the changeup. And so something seems a little off with it. I can't figure it out. The whiff rate was highest this year on the changeup. That's what he's getting the most swings and misses on.
If he's not throwing it, because for whatever reason, he wouldn't be throwing it. For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. Like that's been one of his better pitches this year. So tough day out at the ballpark yesterday for the Rangers as they lose 8-3 to Pittsburgh. It's never good to lose to Pittsburgh. They're a bad baseball team, but you still take 2 of 3.
Yeah, you took 2 out of 3.
That's all that matters. They're in Baltimore tonight. Of course, G-Bag will have a half a show. Pregame will start at 5 o'clock tonight. 5:35 will be the first pitch. Catch it right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Is Sean going to get any man on the street audio out there?
Oh, man, that's a good point. Because
he always wants Peyton to get it.
Yeah.
Well, he should be out at on the streets of Baltimore.
He's a couple hours away.
You're going to get some audio?
How long have you been sitting on that drop?
Oh, man. I think I've had that for almost a year
now. That's the first time I've heard it.
It's Patrick Corbin and Trevor Rogers tonight. We will have the coverage at 5 o'clock. He can get in for $14 tonight.
I mean,
that's the get in the door price.
We all know he's got the money. He can get in there.
He does.
He's not sitting in no $14 seats, though. We know that, man.
No, yes, we know that, man. Hey, real quick, when are they going to sign some of these second rounders? when's Azaraka going to sign?
It'll get done.
Will they all get done by camp? Because literally 30 second rounders are unsigned right now.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So typically back in the past, it was always third rounders that were this way. Third rounders always had some weird hitch in their contract. There was something about the CBA that basically allowed third rounders more negotiating power on like one specific issue that usually held things up. That's the new second rounders. Second rounders just take a long time to get done. And it's because they generally have, like, there are certain areas of their stuff that can be negotiated a little bit more. And so that's why, I mean, the Shamar Stewart holdout in Cincinnati as a first rounder was the one that was really odd, but the Bengals are insisting on something that's not normal for them. The second rounders you kind of expect. Like you said, there's 30 of them that are like that. Third rounders used to always be the last ones to sign. Now it's second rounders. So I don't have a whole lot of concern about it, but yeah, I get it's a little bit of an eyebrow raise when you're like, you got all the way through all your offseason practices and your second rounder's still not signed. But that's the case for almost everybody.
And yeah. I guess they want the guarantee.
Yeah, it's just little nuances and differences in the way the negotiations go. We talked about Jalen Knoll, or not Jalen Knoll, Jaden Higgins getting signed in Houston and how a lot of people wondered, could that have messed things up? He was a second rounder who they fully guaranteed his contract. And that was the first one to do it. You may have some people hanging out now and just saying like, okay, I need the same sort of guarantees.
I think it's just a little scary for teams like to have, I mean, this many. It just seems odd that there's 30 that are unsigned at this point. It just seems very, very strange.
I think it's a little higher than normal, but second rounders a lot of times will hold out. I do think that this is, like I said, I think this is partially because of the Higgins thing. Jaden Higgins being the first second rounder to ever get his contract fully guaranteed.
Yeah, they all want it now.
Yeah, well, that's probably going to be something people are going to ask for. Like, well, this is a standard now. This has happened. And that's why there's a lot of hesitancy to break the mold on anything related to a contract. And B, that's why Shamar Stewart doesn't want to sign in Cincinnati like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to sign for language that other first rounders in this same organization have not signed for. I'm not being the one to break that. You're not having me do that.
Travis Hunter signed,
which is good. He's got signed up for his to play both sides of the ball, I guess. He's been impressive. Everybody's kind of quieted down, worrying about those routes that you saw a video of early on.
How does that work? Like, it's written in the contract that he gets to play both sides of the ball?
No, it's not written in the contract. I'm just saying that he's got his contract signed, so now he can go play both sides of the ball. That's all I'm saying.
But you're not worried about the routes?
No.
That was a one-day thing?
You had the breakdown of those mini camp reps that people were a little bit concerned about, but I mean, no, he's, I think Travis Hunter's going to be fine. I still would have played him primarily at corner, but there's a lot of people who think he is a right now able to win consistently receiver more than he is able to win consistently as a corner.
Usually corner takes a little bit longer, right?
Yeah. It's just, I mean, especially
if you have a quarterback,
it's a more nuanced position. You can win on athleticism if you're really, really good. Like, you can win on skill and not a lot of polish as receiver. If you're really skilled, you can win that way. Corner, you can't. You can't just be skilled usually and win if somebody's got a bag that they can throw at you at receiver. If they're throwing a lot of different exotic routes and stuff, you've got to be really technically sound. That's why corners a lot of times get just worked early on. Diggs had become a better player. Year two, Diggs could win occasionally on certain aspects, but for the most part, it was like he was getting worked over because he wasn't very sound. Then year three started when he was healthy for two games or whatever it was. He looked great, and he looked like he was a more polished player. It's just it takes a little bit more time to sharpen those tools.
Sean and I had talked about it a lot. I know, right? Patrick Peterson was that one dude that just came in and seemed like he figured it out faster than anybody that we can remember.
Yeah, it's not normal.
It was like 6 to 8 games, and he was like, oh, okay, now I figured this thing out.
Corner's not normal. I can't. I mean, I'm trying to think. I think Woodson even struggled early on.
They all do.
Like, it's not.
Revis, I mean, I'm sure Deion did. I don't remember 1989.
Whereas I can throw out several receivers who were great off the jump. Randy Moss, Anquan Boldin, Justin Jefferson. Like, there were plenty of guys who come in as receivers and they win immediately.
Boldin had like 200 yards his first game.
Yeah, Boldin was broke every receiving record for rookies, it felt like, at
crazy.
The time.
All right, Sean and RJ here at 105.3. The fan, we got a best and worst of the weekend coming up. We've got a ticket giveaway during the commercial-free expressway, but I'm going to tell you why the NBA actually is happy and they wanted Kevin Durant and all this news to be broke during the NBA Finals. Get into that next on The Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.